Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Right, 347-637-3942. Thanks, Dr. A, for that inspiration. By the way, it's Wednesday night again. Guess what? It's the American Allegiance Show. Your host, Kevin White, and we love this country. We're patriots. My next guest is a patriot as well. So we're going to go to that in a couple minutes. Right now, I just want to say hello to everybody. This is the Patriot Nation Radio Network, one of a kind. We're striving to be the best. We have the best shows on here with Mark Hoffman. We call him El Guapo. He's the man that runs this network, and he puts a lot of time in and encourages us to do our best. And James Bostic, we had a great show last night, to tell you, and got great guests and everything. They just got back. I think James got back from Rock the Red this Saturday or last Saturday or Sunday. That was a great place, a lot of good people. That's a great place to go if you want to meet people that are happening now and people who care and politicians and things like that. And I believe President Trump went there one time, and I think this time they had Mike Lindell and a bunch of other high-value celebrities and patriots. The best people in the world are there, and that's where I launched my book, Growing Up White, No Risk, Not Fitting In. Changed my life completely. Dom and Donna Nguyen, or Donna Fiducia, actually, they're the ones who did my first radio program. And theirs was a format like this, and now they're on, TV and everything, and they're still really good friends. They're just down-to-earth people. So without any further ado, we're going to bring on our guest tonight. Our guest is Mr. Gonzalo Duran from New York City. He's a former, but always Marine. I'm reminded of that every time I talk to my Marine friends who used to be Marines, but they're still Marines. And he is the CEO and founder of a Marine-based veteran organization. Welcome to the program, Mr. Duran.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me. It's good to be back with the Patriot Nation Radio family, and I'm happy to have my first interview back with you.
Well, thank you. So let's talk about your – okay, so here's the thing that I hear all the time. This is kind of like – I'm starting to understand it now, but when I was in the Air Force, we had Marines that would transfer over, and they'd always say they're still Marines. So is that, do you share that sentiment with them?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, our core values, honor, courage, and commitment is something that, we take very serious. It's embedded in us when we, are indoctrinated in boot camp. I like to think we carry that on. So once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yeah, and I admire that because all our Marines got together, the ones that transferred to the Air Force, and they would do things together. They always hang out, and they're like one group of people. I have to admire that. That's pretty awesome if you think about it. And it's been years since they've been in the Marine Corps, and that's how great it is. So let's talk about your career. After high school, what did you do?
Well, I joined literally on my 18th birthday. And I went straight to boot camp. I was an administrator for most of my career, and I was mostly transferred to intelligence units from 1st Raider Battalion in Camp Pendleton, California, to Marine Corps, Combat Logistics Company 11 in Miramar, and I finished my last duty station in Garden City, New York, in the recruiting station. in 2011.
So you're an Intel guy. So we won't ask many questions.
No, I was an administrator. I was an administrator that worked in Intel units.
Okay, gotcha. Very interesting. It sounds like a really good assignment you had there. So how long were you in, and when did you get out? How many years did you have in?
So I got in 2003, left in 2011, and I did 8 years with one tour in Iraq in 2008.
Well, thank you for your service. That's a big deal. Did you see combat when you were there or not?
I was in the combat zone in Fallujah, Iraq. I did not shoot, but I was shot at.
Okay. So, okay, you're out in the Marine Corps. So what do you do next? What's your next move?
So I went back home into the Bronx in Little Italy, which I grew up at. And, you know, I did what most young Marine or veterans in general would do. I wanted to reintegrate back into my community. I had a little bit of a difficult time for the first, I would say, year or so. But I knew I always wanted to go to Fordham University, which is one of the biggest schools in that area. And I, you know, I got accepted in my second year back home, and I found a job working at the Bronx Labor Department, and I also did a part-time job at the Veterans Hospital for both jobs, basically the Veterans Benefit Advisor for both.
So Fordham sounds like a very prestigious university. Is it, or I don't know. I'm from Ohio. I don't really know. It sounds like.
Yes.
I always thought it.
Yes, Fordham University is a top-tier school. It's, I believe, one of the most expensive schools in the East Coast. And saying that for the East Coast means pretty much in the country. You know, they have, you know, originally I went for pre-med, but I didn't finish a few courses. So in my opinion, it's one of the best schools that you can possibly go to. And I'm very fortunate that the military helped me pay for it.
Yeah, so that's one of the big perks of being in the military, right? They take care of you and get out. So.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I wish I could say that my reason for joining was more patriotic, or even say something like I went to school. But honestly, you know, I was walking by one day in. After wrestling practice, and one of the recruiters said, "Hey, do you want to join?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, that's no problem." So, I didn't join originally for school benefits or anything. At the time, the school benefits wasn't that as prestigious as it is now. And you know, right now the Yellow Ribbon program would pay for a whole education at Fordham University, whereas the Montgomery GI Bill just paid a fraction, of maybe a tenth of what it would cost. So, you know, it's, once again, I joined just because. That's my best answer for that.
You know, just like you, I did the same thing. I had a recruiter come to our high school, and my dad was in the Air Force, so it was like a no-brainer. I just, yeah, I'll do it. I'll join. So I did. So. Yeah, they have influence. There's a reason why they're there, right? Recruiters get people that are on the edge, and that was me and you. So I get it now. I finally clicked on my head what's going on. So so that's interesting. And medical school is not easy. I mean, it's just to get in there. You must be a very intelligent man.
Wasn't able to finish the whole curriculum. I mean, we're transitioning back. Is not as easy as, you know, we all like to think. You know, when you go back home, some of us don't have the nuclear family to go back to, a stable environment. You know, I went back home and got my own place. And, you know, I worked, you know, two jobs, had kids that I had to visit every other weekend while going to school at night, and, you know, caring for my mother at the same time. So, you know, all that together, it wasn't as easy peasy as I wish it was. But, and then on top of that, trying to tackling such a hard curriculum at the time, you know, it wasn't beneficial. It wasn't ideal for anybody, let alone a Marine just getting out of the service at my late 20s. I didn't finish microbiology and a vax chemistry, which, you know, if you can finish that, doing all that, then you deserve to be a doctor. But, for the average person, it's better to do that when you're a lot younger or a lot of free time.
Right. Yeah, that organic chemistry is a killer. I understand. It's what most people don't understand it, but that's very commendable. You could even, that load you had with the school you're in and then your responsibility and your jobs, that's incredible that you're able to keep that up for as long as you did. So you're talking about separating from the military. This is a big deal. This is another thing. And a lot of, some people fall through the cracks. So you're better off sometimes being a lifer and getting out. And then it all depends on where you live and what kind of facilities you have. So you work with the VA. And the VA, I understand, and I've worked with the VA myself, not with them, but with cases and things like getting what you want, what you need. Sometimes it doesn't work out for you. And I know a lot of people that have that problem. So what did you do while you were there at the VA?
So I was, I went in as a volunteer originally. And then I used that as a stepping stone to get something more serious at the dialysis unit that they had on the fourth floor. And then I worked my way into doing veterans, I guess, benefits advising. Basically the same thing I was doing for the Bronx Labor Department, trying to get veterans the transportation, medical, and different other resources that are provided to them, either by the state, city, or federal level.
Okay, good. Thank you for your service there, too. I mean, it's a huge thing for veterans. They rely so much on the VA and volunteers and then people that work there. So now let's talk about, okay, what you do now. It doesn't matter what you do now. You have a, it's like a foundation. You have a veterans organization that helps, and it's. Can you explain what that's about and how you founded it and what they do? I think this is important thing to know.
So Devil Dog USA is a veteran nonprofit. It's a 501c3 organization, and we're based in the Bronx, but we try to do as much as we can nationally if possible. The reason for it, how it came about was, what you said earlier, you know, there are cracks in the system for veterans trying to come back home. Specifically, my point of view is, let's say you're a veteran getting out of the military. Right now you have the opportunity to go to school, and if you pick the right school curriculum, you might have a complete free ride. But the caveat with that is, everything that you want may not be situated. Let's say you get out, like for myself, in October, and school doesn't start until January. Well, what are you going to do for those, you know, couple months until school starts? You going to school being paid for also allows you the ability to have a stipend that's going to help you pay for housing or for whatever you want. In New York City, it could be up to $4,000. I haven't looked at the it goes off the BH allowance. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I believe it's just over $4,000. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but in New York City, an apartment can go for like $2,000 a month, so it's not as much. And the educational benefits and the housing are contingent when you go to school. So if you go to school for 9 months out of the year, then you only get that money for 9 months. Or if you only go for, if you don't go for the summer, then you get it for 6 months.
Whoa, yeah.
So it's really not that much money. Now, for those 4 months that between leaving the military and going starting school, you also have to wait 30 days before you get that first check from educational benefits. So now, let's say it's 4 or 5 months and you have to wait. Well, what do you do for those 4 or 5 months? If you go for a job, immediately they're going to want commitment for a year or two or whatever. But if you just want to go to school, then you're going to have to just hold out until then. And that's where a lot of veterans might have problems. Well, if they don't have a stable location, they don't have a good savings, homelessness can be very easy. That's why one of the reasons why I would say a lot of veterans coming back home could possibly end up homeless. And then you throw in maybe not being completely stable, maybe having to deal with issues from either from war or from the service itself. You hit it on the nose earlier as well. The military provides you all these amenities, medical, dental, a stable job, paycheck. Once you get out of that, you don't have that safety net anymore. And some might become institutionalized to that. And that's another readjustment issue that could hurt somebody trying to go to school, maybe not be able to find a job, et cetera, et cetera. So from all that situation, though, that complexity of all that is where Devil Dog came out, trying to help veterans reintegrate back into the community by giving them, one, the knowledge of what to do when they get out, two, providing recreational activities for them, and three, giving them, resources within the community and, basic knowledge to carry on for the time period they need during those hard times. So, for example, we partner with other organizations to do surveys. One example is working with the VA research study program. We'll send veterans over to them to try to get short-time survey income. So, you might do a survey and might get $100, $50, whatever. That's just one example of many. Or maybe work with a national organization with, like, the Mission Continues that's partnered recently with the Wounded Warrior Project. And that's like a 3-month commitment, 3 to 6 month commitment of internship, paid internship. And then there's other programs like work study programs through the VA and et cetera, et cetera.
That's incredible. Yeah, I'm looking at your page right now. This is, you have some really awesome things going on here, and it's much needed. And we don't see this too much in our communities. I think this is pretty awesome. And you're working with all kinds of people and the military. I think that's fantastic. So my hats off to what you do.
And, the biggest thing is working with the community. I mean, you can't truly integrate back into your community if the community isn't there to support you. And I've been very fortunate that my communities in my areas have embraced the veteran. Some of the programs for recreational we've gone, we've done golf programs, scuba diving programs, poker nights, cigar nights, et cetera, all through the generosity of not only the community, but also donations from civilians and military alike.
It's pretty awesome. So you're a 501c3. So yeah, that's perfect. I like what you're doing. Hopefully people can donate. If you're listening to this program, think about donating. I have the link to the webpage on my page, or I can spell it out for you. It is www.doubledogusainc.org. If you want to donate to the program, to Devil Dog USA, that would be awesome. And you're helping the veterans, and you're putting people back on straight street. You're contributing to a well-deserved cause, something that's very, very much needed. I talk about this a lot. You guys hear me. We have problems with veterans integrating back or getting what they deserve, and this is a perfect place. And this is in the New York area. Do you do anything? Do you expand or you go to any? Is this for the Bronx, right?
Well, we're headquartered in the Bronx, but we have You know, we will do all New York City, of course, and we've expanded to other, you know, Connecticut, New Jersey, other places to do projects or events. Just to clarify, yes, we are a 501c3 organization. If we do receive donations, anything that goes, that is given to us goes straight into our programs. All, you know, over 95% of it goes to our programs. Our staff is comprised of veterans across the country that are interns with us. And then we have volunteers in our area, in our by our headquarters. So it's a community-based organization that's actually helping to try to do different things. We have a gentleman in Pennsylvania, our liaison in Pennsylvania, that South Carolina, that helped with our suicide prevention programs. Our Pennsylvania liaison helps us with our articles that we publish on a regular basis, sometimes with us, sometimes with other organizations and periodicals. So, you know, it's an all-encompassing thing that we try to do. So we are based in New York City, but our reach is national.
It's pretty awesome. That's like I said, it's a much-needed thing, and people have no idea. I mean, you're working in the military, and your life is completely changed. Like I always say, when you get back from deployment, the world isn't the same. And then you get off the military, and then you have so many issues. You know, there's a lot of people who have PTSD. They get, you know, they see things they shouldn't have seen, or that the average person never sees. So they need psychological help. And a lot of those guys, just like, I have uncles that were like that. You know, they got out, and then, you know, they did things they were never dreamed of. One of my uncles hijacked an airplane back in 1968 after he got out, and I've got relatives that just went to the streets. So this is a serious thing. People don't understand what they go through over there in the military. People don't have a clue. And this is why. And you hear these congressmen or congresswomen saying that, you know, they should get off welfare. We don't need to take care of the veterans. Well, think about what they did for you. They took your place. They volunteered to be what they are and who they are and become what they have. And there's a lot of very successful ones too. I mean, they're just they're samples of society, putting everybody in the same stone. But this is a much needed thing. And this is where, here's what I always say on my program. This is where you went beyond thinking about it. You actually did it. And I admire you for that. Just like everybody who runs for office, you actually took action, and your action is paying off in the long run. And that's beautiful. I love seeing things like this. These are success stories. And I enjoy talking with you about it because I understand. I get it. So do you have any advice for people, maybe not for your organization, but for veterans? What should they do? I mean, who should they seek if they need help? And they're in the situation where, like you were when you got out and you didn't know what to do. And second question is, was this based off of what you knew and didn't know?
So what I would say is the first thing is always heed the words of your transitional officer and your transitional program. A lot of people take it as, I don't want to say a joke, but they don't take it as serious as they should be. You know, we have a 1 year, I believe it's the federal guidelines that that the DOJ, when somebody is a vet or a military personnel is leaving, they have 1 year to prepare for the transitioning now. I don't know what it's called across the branches, but for us is we go PTAD for temporary permissive duty to our transitional course. And during that time period, you know, we're embarked with organizations and people to help us with, get some idea of what to expect. You know, local employment people, and then there's what benefits that we might qualify for. So if I was given a brief to somebody getting out within a year, I would say, look, go talk to your transitional officer. That's number one. Number two, try to request as much time as you can of leave before you get out, because in the end of the day, your transition may be a little hard. Now, for Marines, it's a little difficult. They normally just give us 30 days, even though we're allotted 90 days. They really don't try to give you that much. But try to take as much as you can, fight for it, leaving as much as you can. So that basically means you have to save your leave, your vacation days, so that you can get out with enough time. The third thing I would say is don't be afraid to apply for unemployment in advance. It's something that you allowed it the first couple months you get out, but you do have to put in the paperwork for it. The next thing is apply for any VA benefits that you might receive for any injuries while you're in service. And then I would say the last thing is most individuals are going to go for jobs and education. So look for jobs a year in advance. Try to ask your, don't be shy. This is not the time to be shy. Ask your friends, ask people in your neighborhood. Look at where you plan to go and search as far as wide as you can for employment. And then the same thing goes for your education. Try to, you know, plan accordingly. I just told you right now, if you get out in October and school starts in January, you won't see your first paycheck until February from your educational benefits. So you have to have a plan right there to what to do for November, December, January, February. All that right there is something that I knew I had to do before getting out. I did do, but it still didn't even work out for me. So it's not easy. It's not an easy process. And even though you know everything, why wouldn't it work out? And I'm going to give you one clear example. The educational benefit that you receive from your post 9/11 GI Bill, that's the bill that pays for your education and gives you a stipend to live off of. Now, it's just a federal document. It's just a piece of paper. It has nothing to do with your W-4. There's not a pay stub. It's not a concrete document to say that you will be paid for such and such time for this long period. It's nothing out of the norm for the regular landlords to see what they see. So a landlord may see that document, your GI Bill stipend on paper, but they may not know what it is and they might not accept it for payment. So right there, that's what happened to me, not knowing that it was going to be so hard. Even though I had money in my pocket, even though I had money coming in from from my GI Bill, it was difficult, very, very difficult. I got lucky after a couple months that I was able to find a place, but a lot of people take longer, and in that transition right there, you can end up homeless, and a lot of other problems can happen because of that.
Yeah, and I was thinking while you're talking, you know, getting out in Bucktussle, Alabama versus Queens, New York City, the level of difficulty is so much higher where you live. And I can see it's like huger challenges because you got to come up with rent and everything. And you can get cheap houses in a lot of parts of the country, in the Midwest and everything. But going back over there and getting a quick job, I can't even imagine, you know, $2,000 a month for an apartment. That's like unheard of here. So you have a bigger challenge in the bigger cities.
Yes, and you know, I've written articles which can be found in the Double Dog website under the articles. You know, it's not a New York City thing. It's all across the country. This is a national dilemma. It happens to people in L.A. It happens to people in Arkansas. It has people in Alabama.
Wow.
It's not a localized thing. It's, once again, only 1% of the population goes into the military, and only, let's say, less than that 1% has to use just alone the GI Bill to pay for college. And it's not a thing that most landlords, realtors, or brokers will see, so they may not understand it.
Absolutely. I could see that. And, yeah, you can't rely on people. They don't know the rules or the laws, or they don't understand it, and they don't want to understand it. They just want their money, right? So
yes.
I can understand that happening.
They want to see the pay stub, They want to see your tax returns. They want to see your credit score. They want to see all that which they normally do see on a regular basis. So why rent to you when you're different and they can rent to somebody who's providing everything that they want? So.
Yeah, they have choices. That's the thing. And they're going to choose the guy who's got all that stuff. That guy's got that record with the job. So, yeah, the other thing is you lost your employment when you get out. You don't have a record. So that's hard to do, too. They want to see a pay stub. It's kind of hard to do that. Anything that's current is not with the current job. Usually people, I might be wrong on this, but people like to get, you know, settled in before they start working, and they want to. And you can't obviously find a job right away. So there's a lot of things working against you. And the severance pay isn't probably not what people think it is. So you have to do things wiser. And, yeah, I think that's the answer right there, is see the exit, whatever the liaison is, as your unit. I think that's the most valuable thing you can do before you get out. Because you got to think about it. And even counseling before you get out. Do you have a plan? What are you going to do when you get back? And people are thinking, I'm getting out. And there are so many people I've seen do this, and they regret it later on. I should have stayed in, kind of thing. I had a maid.
One of the biggest problems even after that, let's say you get out and, you know, you can't handle it and you try to get back in, it's not beneficial for the recruiters to bring in a prior service veteran. They don't really get points off of that. So it's not contingent to the person that would let you back in. So, there's a lot of people that might be willing to want to join back, you know, get back in, but the recruiter is not,
gotcha.
Rush for that.
That's interesting.
So,
you know, we see a lot of those guys in the Guard and Reserve Marines, or other services, that's where some of them actually go. So they have a job on the weekend, but at least they have a job. They still have a track record. So that happens a lot. I mean, people, you can get out for several years and still get back in if you're the right age. And that's what people do. And they get their education for free and everything, and sign-on bonuses. So it all depends. There's other routes you can go, but it's not going to sustain your family. If you're by yourself, yeah, they might do that. And that's where the college is. I don't know if you have this experience, but when I went to college, I graduated in 2017. They had a fantastic veterans program, the best of the best, free printing, and they took care of you, free coffee, all this stuff that you couldn't get anywhere else on campus. I thought that was fantastic because they're doing good things on the other end. But you have to get into that program to start going to school. You have to make the money to sustain yourself. And that's a huge problem because college is not cheap. But I went on a full scholarship, fortunately. And I guess it all depends on how long you've been in and what they're going to pay for the VA. So you have limited resources. Even when you're, you know, a veteran, you have limited resources that you can go by. But you have to look those out. You got to seek those and look for them. And that's where I learned a lot from my trip to the VA. I learned a whole lot. I didn't know things that I could do or could have. So things are a lot better than they used to be with that organization, a whole lot better.
Yes. I like to apologize today. I missed one step on my, you know, if I was given a roadmap to somebody getting out. And one thing I did forget was the VA hospital. You should always, go to your local VA and register there for many reasons. One, I don't know if the rules changed recently in the last few years, but if you're a combat veteran, you automatically have, I believe, 3 or 4 years of continued service for medical based off any conditions that might arise from your service. And then it also goes off of a pay scale as well. Let's say you don't have war experience, then they'll go based off your income, they'll prorate. There's different levels of everything. So a lot of people think there's a difference between the VA hospital and the VA administration. The hospital
yeah,
cares,
okay.
They care of you medically, and the VA administration is there to provide you with the, quote, benefits that are available for you. And so the VA administration will have resources in the VA hospitals for you. They'll have, let's say you have to have Section 8. Well, for the veterans, it's called HUD-VASH. So there'll be a representative from the local housing department for veterans there. Or there might be organizations, nonprofits that will come into the veterans hospital to provide maybe legal service or maybe VA disability claims, et cetera. To go over the list of resources they would have, it would be it would take me too long. But that's the point of you going to your local VA, because one, medical care, and two, the resources that are in abundance over there. Now, not everybody's going to have a great experience at their local VA, but it's a tool to use. And then the secondary thing is the vet centers. There are, I believe, more vet centers than there are veterans hospitals, and the vet centers are there to provide the same thing, but it's more for mental health and those resources that are local to the community.
Wow, that's awesome. I have one distinction to make, and maybe you can help me with this, because not everybody's a veteran, and that's not a good thing when you get out. You know, you may have served, but you never served in a combat zone or anything else. So those guys are probably, do they have access to the VA hospital?
So the VA system is a very difficult tool to utilize. So I wouldn't say that a veteran that doesn't go to combat is not a veteran. What I would say is not a combat veteran. So there are different levels of, I'm using quotation marks here with my fingers, a veteran. There's a veteran, a non-combat veteran, there's a combat veteran. And then when you break down disabled veteran as well, the VA has
right.
their own rating system for what constitutes a disability and how disabled somebody is. And depending on your disability, it can provide you extra income, resources, et cetera. But just to be clear, the VA disability system is more so for your medical disability care. There is compensation at a certain level and for certain percentages, but that's meant more for your medical care. Obviously, in this time, in this day and age, it's more seen as more as compensation vice used for medical care. Originally, that's what it was for. It just, it's grown to a different thing at the moment.
Right. So I was actually, I did my entire career with the Air National Guard. I was a maintenance guy. I worked full time. However, I think that's where the distinction is. Working in the Guard and you're not active duty, is you don't become a veteran unless you go to combat zone. I think that's what I was thinking of. So those guys are hanging in the balance right there, because, they have no claims, no anything when they get out. They have no active duty time. No, everybody in active duty is actually active duty, and, they're entitled to things like that. But if you're in the Guard or Reserve, maybe the Reserve does, but I do know that there's issues with people getting out of the Guard early, but usually they have another job. So that's their saving grace. So,
well, yes. And it's been a while since I've done, broken it down that much, but I appreciate you bringing that up, because it's something that maybe somebody might hear. So to be considered, once you have a DD 214, you are automatically a veteran. To be considered for medals or benefits or something like that, you need a certain amount of days to constitute that. And the government will try to save money wherever they can, because it's the government.
Right.
So let's say, and this is just an arbitrary number that I'm throwing out there. I don't know. It's been too long. And I haven't done this in a while. But let's say the amount of days you need is 6 months, which is, you know, I don't know how many days, maybe 179. I'm just making this number up at the moment. Don't quote me.
Right,
please.
Right.
Let's say it's 179 days. You know, the government will cut the orders for 178 days so that you don't qualify for, you know, the et cetera stuff. So that's a caveat. And yes, a lot of programs are meant for combat veterans and, you know, and then, you know, then there's a whole separate category of, are you an honorable discharge? You know, dishonorable discharge is, you know, obviously the worst you can get. But even they are constitute some form of assistance. In not in everything, but in some aspects, especially depending on what their discharge, if they were dishonorably discharged, what the issue was. But I've seen disabled veterans receive care from nonprofits that care towards veterans, like us. Devil Dog USA will help any veteran with a DD-214. Combat, non-combat, disabled, not disabled, dishonorably discharged, enough. But our resources only is limited by what we can also give them as a referral. You know, we can't send them to get you know, disability claim for disabled for dishonorable discharge because the VA will not allow it. So that's the one of the an issue, but for our recreational programs, it's not a. We won't stop them from it.
That's I like that. That's pretty awesome. I know you're limited and all that, but I like the fact that you take care of the non-combat. I think it's great. So it sounds like an awesome organization you have, and you built it from zero, from the ground up. That's fantastic. And you're doing the right thing, and I really admire that. And that's pretty outstanding on your part. So these are, like I always say, these things are much needed. And I weep for some of these guys, and I've seen a lot of them in trouble, and they don't know where to go, or they've got issues. They got serious mental issues or things like that, physically. Even the ones that are full combat, it doesn't matter who you are. People are people, and people have, you know, weaknesses, and they have their strengths. And I mean, these people had to be supermen at one time, and it's sad to see them decline like that. And, you know, in the service of the country, and it's not even about that. It's about their people. We have to take care of our own people, no matter who they are, whether they're vets or not. And that's what we are commissioned to do. So, and this is what I like about your program. This is really nice. So tell me, we're going to go get past this. We're going to go to another subject. You are also a Blog Talk Radio host, and you're the new guy, the old new guy, the new old guy on our network. So
tell us
about your career.
You know, after leaving the military, most of my jobs were advising veterans on how to get back and reintegrate back in the community. You know, I started making leeways in the community, and when I was there, you know, a couple of veterans got together and they're like, "Well, we want to start an organization of our own, and we'd like for you to be the to lead the way." And since I already had everything that was needed, the tools for it, you know, I jumped on board. You know, at first we were just doing local community stuff like clothing, referral services, and we built up to recreational activities and housing program, advocacy, and et cetera, stuff like that. And one of the things that I've enjoyed doing, once again, this could be found in Devil Dog USA, Inc.org is articles, you know, veterans coming to me and saying, you know, Gonzalo, I have something I want to say. Well, how do I get it out there? in the past, you know, I've done articles, hosted cable network shows, and I've done radio talk shows like through the Patriot Nation radio network. You know, one of my best times was speaking to people across the country to find out what a veteran in Ohio or what a veteran in L.A. compared to a veteran in New York is having issues with. And, you know, unfortunately with the pandemic and the move that I had to do and the office being closed during the pandemic, you know, we had to stop a lot of the programs. The radio show was one of them. And now that, you know, our office is back open, you know, it gives us the ability to start moving forward, especially in New York City. So many things were closed down here. You know, you couldn't even eat outside at one point. So now that you know, all these things have opened back up, the opportunities are back. You know, in June we'll be starting our Vet Talk program again with the Patriot Nation radio network, and you know, we'll be speaking to veterans across the country on different topics.
So I totally understand. New York was shut down hard. So, yeah, I know they lost a lot of people there. A lot of people went to Florida. And I guess that's all I'll say about that, but it's nothing like here, so, or California. California's pretty bad as well. A lot of people are leaving that state. People are realizing, you know, what happened during the pandemic. So I understand what you're saying. Everything's shut down. And it's unfortunate that everything had to come to a stop. It didn't really have to, in my opinion.
You know, it was, you know, to jump on, you know, another topic regarding that, you know, one of the reasons why we had to stop some of our programs because there was such an abundance of outpouring from community and the government that, you know, a lot of the services that were provided that other people would, you know, organizations would provide was technically not needed as well. For example, housing. You know, at one point, the city was paying for hotels for individuals to go into for the homeless population.
Right.
So that took care of a lot of homelessness at one point. Food banks had maybe, I want to say, like I'm throwing a number out there, this crazy number, but I mean 1,000% surplus. So much so that even restaurants were donating food to community, you know, members. You know, the food hunger, I would say, would have diminished for a quiet time period. But you know, the offset of that is, you know, the tolls and deaths. You know, was pretty tragic, but at the same time. Mental health became a big part of the community in New York City. You know, with the tragedy that happened, or the tragedy that is currently happening with the pandemic, we got to see how much the people wanted to help. So that's one thing that I look back and because of a short course of words I can't think of right now. But I finally look at that and say, you know, now that we're back, what can we do to keep that level of outpour from the community to go, keep on going?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Why can't they do it all the time? People don't recognize the needs until something happens, it looks like. That's human nature. So, yeah, that would be beautiful if we did that for everybody all the time. And you wouldn't have to work so hard if we took care of everybody.
Yes,
so
that would be a dream.
Huh?
That would be a dream that, you know, we would be pushed to the side because so much was given by the community vice, having the need to push it out there ourselves.
Right. Right, exactly. And so you're actually going to be on this network. You're going to be one of the regulars. You're going to broadcast, what kind of shows do you do? Do you talk about your Marine? Do you mention your Marine program, your Devil Dog USA, or are you just different subjects and topics? What kind of shows are you going to do in the future?
Well, sometimes we do, announce our current projects and why we're doing them. But the main goal is always to give an opportunity for veteran organizations across the country to let the population know what they're doing to help the veteran community and the community as a whole, and give them a platform to engage. Then we also have segments where we have individual veterans speak regarding subject matters that are either important to them or current event. And the last part is what I like to call our group talks, where we'll have a few veterans talk regarding random subjects.
Okay. Sounds good. So, yeah, I had this show at James Bostick, and I was I considered myself an expert of this, the no-fly zone over there in Ukraine. So I was breaking it down and how Ukraine, I have an article I'm writing about that, how giving the airplanes won't help them at all kind of thing, because I know it's a no-brainer for me. I know this is a fact, that the Su-27s and the MiG-29s cannot fight against the Su-35s. It's just impossible. So I have a hard time believing the ghost of Kiev unless he was in the right place at the right time. So I know what you're saying. This is one of my passions. So I know what reality is. I've seen MiG-29s up close. We flew with them overseas, and there's no way. They're like F-4s. They have no capability to take over. So I know what you're talking about. The military guys do things that nobody else has ever done. They've been in jobs nobody else can even dream of. So that's what I like to listen to and interview military guys, because what they go through, like the Vietnam guys and the guys in Desert Storm, what they've gone through is incredible. You can never achieve that without being in the military. And they're all different. And they have different stories, different people. It's amazing. So I agree with you. As I do now, I invite military guys to talk to, and military authors and people who had their career there and people with amazing stories. And I got to meet one of the guys that was involved in the Benghazi event, and incredible people, heroes. So when you start broadcasting with us, that's your plan. You're gonna do that, right?
I should be starting back in the first week of June.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to that program. And like I said, it's great to have veterans who take care of veterans. And a lot of people I have on here are people who take care of other people. And, they have that like-minded thing that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of our brothers and sisters and the children, of course. And that doesn't seem to go very – you don't see that. The family's being broken up these days, especially on TV, sitcoms and everything, and movies. This is tragic. So we want to remind people this is what we're supposed to do. This is our calling. Take care of each other and not to divide. Racism, that's a huge thing too. And I kind of address that too. I'm tired of this stuff. It's just driving me crazy. But I like to say even keeled, and we learn a lot on our programs, and I'll learn a lot from your programs. And that's what I did today. Yeah, I mean, you blew me away with all this stuff you're telling me. I had no idea that things were like that for people. So what are your future plans with your organization and yourself?
So now that our office is open back up through the Mount Lebo Lodge, Masonic Lodge, we'll be taking appointments face-to-face. We're still continuously open online. Once again, if everyone was trying to reach us, they can reach us through www.devildogusainc.org. Our emails, our phone numbers are available there. You know, starting off, we will be doing our golf program again, which is easy, our cigar nights, our poker nights. The resources have always been continuous. You know, as organizations come out to facilitate their needs as well, we'll always be willing to partner and work with other organizations. The biggest thing is, once again, the Patriot Nation Radio, where we host Vet Talk, which I'm looking forward to. And
awesome.
Then from there on, you know, our other programs have always been continuous, but, you know, as depending on how the summer and winter goes with the pandemic, you know, everything's always, everything in New York City is on a slippery slope. But my one of our all focus, all my staff, all our volunteers, our main thing is always trying to do our best to help prevent suicide. The National Veteran Suicide, you know, the National Veteran, or excuse me, the National Suicide Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. They're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, one life lost is one life too many. So if you are in distress, we always recommend someone to give a call to them. If, you know, you want to talk to somebody more personal, like myself or one of our staff members, you can also reach us there as well through our website, our Facebook, social medias is Devil Dog USA. And this month is Mental Health Month. That's why I bring it up
yes,
promptly.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes, very much needed. I appreciate that. And yeah, mental health is a huge issue. And so I'd like to thank you for coming on this program tonight. I totally learned a lot, and that's my goal, to learn. And like I told you before, I don't have questions prepared. I always get my questions while I'm talking, and I really like to actively listen to what my guests are saying. And you raise a lot of things in my mind that I would never have thought of if I was concentrated on canned questions. So thank you so much. Everybody, Devil Dogs USA, go there, usa.org, usainc.org, Devil Dogs usainc.org. Check them out. Think about donating. Give back to what the veterans gave you, and it'll pay off. A worthwhile cause. I thank you, Mr. Duran, for bringing me this information and coming on the program today. And I wish you the best of luck. I can't wait to see you and listen to your programs in the future, sir.
Thank you for having me, Kevin. I appreciate it very much. I look forward as well.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good day, sir.
Bye.
So that was Mr. Gonzalo Duran. Incredible stuff. This guy is doing it. He's bringing it. People talk about things, but he's actually bringing it. And I love that. I like when people take that next step. If you want to run for office or school board, think about it. Get your plans together and do it. If you want to make a change, and he is definitely making a change, and I appreciate that, and I really love that he's a veteran himself. He understands. And this is the great thing about how this works out. You have an expert running this program and getting funds in and helping the veterans. I think that's fantastic. So next week, we're going to have another. We're probably going to have one of my new authors that I just published yesterday, Mr. Aaron Shivington. He created a new book, and it's finally on the presses. It's in right now, BrownieFoxPublishing.com. Actually, it's on Amazon. Do we get it on there? And you'll see it on my Facebook page. And it's a five-step program. It's called Following Jesus, a five-step program to discipleship. So we'll see how that runs out. And I think it'd be fantastic. Yeah, listen to that next week, hopefully. Sometimes my guests change. Things go maybe a little bit awry, but at the same time, I always have somebody to talk to that's an expert in the field, and this is it. Dr. Shivington lives in Yellow Springs, Ohio. I'm not going to hold that against him. It's kind of like a hippie side kind of town. But we're going to have him on when we can. So everybody have a great afternoon, evening, whatever you're going to do, and take care. And God bless America, USA, and go Buckeyes. Yeah, I said it. If you don't like it, it's okay.